Well, so I was accepted in the community. Now, if I had been a Presbyterian, I would have been accepted, or a Catholic, I would have been accepted a little bit sooner. You see, there was another woman doctor in our neighborhood, and she was a DAR, and also a Presbyterian, and a graduate of Women's Medical College in Philadelphia. She kept to herself, which was her own business. I was a very, very, I still am a very proud person. You either accept me or go the other way, I can't be bothered, because I have enough to do without what I'm doing. I had plenty of work.
After a while, you probably found that the Italian women that you were who actually preferred you over male doctors.
Yes, oh yes, and the Italian men also.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, and they brought me in all kinds of things. They all had gardens of one kind or another. And some of them even rented lots out Frenchtown Roadway, that way it became Ben Hills. And they brought me in tomato sauce and tomatoes and beans. And people had chicken farms, and they would bring in chickens. They brought me during World War II, they brought me in their red stamps because they didn't eat as much meat as we did. And we had plenty of everything. They even canned for me. And they were beautiful to me. They were a joy. And now, at the symphony, and sometimes at the opera, somebody will come over and say, I am Mrs. the President's daughter. I remember you. You're Mrs. Marks, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm her older daughter. Oh, you're the one who became the doctor. I look just like my mother used to look. I had no trouble. Now, I had no trouble with the men because I did a lot of referrals. If you were sending the men work, they knew you because you were part of their bread and butter. And socially, the older men were very nice with me. I mean, they invited me, their wives even invited me to their homes. The younger men didn't accept me, and then at first. But later on, they called me by my first name, and that's all there was to it.
I want to go back and pick up a few things.
Go ahead.
You tell us a little bit about the religious atmosphere of your home. We didn't quite finish talking about your own childhood.
In my childhood, we went to the Lotus Children Temple.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done. That was very well thought out. I had a ton of concerns. They did not want us to be Orthodox Jews. They wanted us to be assimilated into the American way of life. But they wanted us to accept ourselves as Jews. And therefore, we got a reform training. Your mouth was washed out if you told a lie in our home. My mother was very, very strict about certain things. My father wanted us to be educated. I think what he really wanted me to do was to be a school teacher. It was World War I that turned the tide. See, I got interested in anatomy and dancing. We observed the various Jewish holidays, but we did not have a kosher home. My father and my mother both had family that were still in Europe. And we always had, as we were growing up, a newcomer in our home. We did not call them Jews in our homes. We were not allowed to use that word. They were, I don't care how distant they were cousins. And they were welcome in the home. And as they got into maybe the needlework trade or into a store or something, they would come on the weekends and we would they were just part of the family.
Now, you mentioned that your father was very much of a reader himself.
Yes.
What can you describe the cultural atmosphere of your home other than?
Well, there's a piano in the house. Mm-hmm. and we sang Lieder.
The German Lieder.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In the basement, there was a punching bag and a ski pin for show. It was just a small eight-room house. I don't think they spent more than $6,000 or $7,000 in those days when they bought that house.
Was this the house in Pittsburgh?
It was in Pittsburgh in the 13th floor.
Where was it?
It's called the Belmore, and at that time it was the blue-collar people of the various new steel mills and industries that were opening up in Pittsburgh. There were a great many engineers. I don't mean railroad engineers. I mean men like the Massachusetts State, Rensselaer Peck, as I can, who came here and raised their families. The neighborhood where we lived was on Lay Street, and we were the fifth house on our square that was built. They were single houses, but they were nothing beautiful. We read Shakespeare, we read Tennyson, we cross-country hiked. Oh, yes. My mother was raised in the country.
You haven't told us much about her. Can you describe the type of person she was?
She was a very strong, intelligent woman. We had many, many picnics. I guess this is Mr. Fernelli at the end. A very unpretentious woman. She had been raised in a small town. At that time, Wilkes-Barre was a very small town. She was not a snob. She was not a social climber. Her neighbors were her neighbors. And if they needed her, she didn't hesitate to go in the kitchen or to take in a child while the rest of the family were sick. She was not a club woman. She could have been, but she wasn't interested in that. She was a beautiful sewer. She was an excellent cook. She encouraged us to have many children in the house. You see, the Belmore was just opening up, and it was a great big hill, and we dug a cave in the side of the hill. And she gave us old carpet and things, and even helped us get the lumber to hold up the roof of the hill. At that time, the vegetable men and the fruit men were hucksters. Some of them were Jews and some of them were Italians, but when they came to Mrs. Marx's house and it was cold, she invited them into the kitchen and she gave them something hot to drink. Many of the boys who worked on these wagons were very young boys, and she talked to them.
What about the ethnic mix of the neighborhood?
It was mostly the neighborhood where we lived. It was Scotch, Presbyterian, and Catholic.
Were there many Jews?
No. My mother did not want to live in a Jewish neighborhood. She wanted her children to be assimilated and part of the family.
And that is what happened. You don't have many bad memories.
Then. No. I went to Belmar School as a little girl. And you came home for lunch, and you know how children come home, they skip and they jump. And then I went to homeroom school, and you came home for lunch, and you had an hour and a half for lunchtime, and you skip and you jump, and you knew everybody in the neighborhood. My mother knew everybody in the neighborhood.
Where did you go for high school?
I went the first 2 years to Fifth Avenue High. My father wanted me to be a teacher, and that's where they came. But I had a science teacher there, and a math teacher who encouraged me to go on to Central High and prepare for college. At that time, they had just put in teacher's training, and you had to go after graduating from high school 2 years to teacher's training. And these two teachers said to me, "You can do it. For 2 more years, you'll have college education, and then you will be able to teach in high school, before to be able to do something else. That was two teachers at Edna. When I got to Central High, there was a math teacher and a history teacher who were both Harvard men. And they wanted me to take the college entrance board exams. And they even coached me because our high school then did not prepare us for college entrance boards. And they encouraged me to go on to that place.
Where was Central High located?
Well, that's now the train school, Conway train school up on the hill, you know, about the arena.
Mm-hmm. You had a younger sister.
Yes.
Now,
go ahead.
Well, first of all, what was her name? And then tell
her
us
name was Gladys.
Yes.
Gladys Ruth. She was named for the same grandmother.
Oh, yes, you mentioned Gladys Ruth earlier.
Yes.
Where did this...
Well, my brother had gone 3 years to the engineering school at Carnegie Tech and then transferred to the architectural school for 4 years to become an architect. You have to take this engineering home about architecture.
Yes.
You have to take a state license to be a builder. See, part of that time, he worked in the Jones and Laughlin Mills and went to night school, and part of that time he went to day school, but he graduated with his class. My sister was very artistic, and she and my brother had more in common than I did because they did a lot of drawing together. And she went to Carnegie Tech. And while she was there, a World War I came along, and she married a boy who went off to the army before, went off to work in the army before he graduated. And when he came back, while he was in the trenches, he drew signs. He had to stay about 8 or 9 months after the armistice because he still had an army there. He drew signs in the trenches so that they could tell the people where, the boys, where to go or how to go. They used him in his work. Well, then, after he came back, they went down into Richmond, no, Roanoke, Virginia. You know Roanoke?
Yes, we do.
Do you live there?
I lived about half an hour away.
Oh, I know it. And they lived in Roanoke for a while, and then they moved to Lynchburg. And they, you know Lynchburg? Well, they lived out at the outskirts of the town.
Now, what was her husband's name?
Martha and Olaf, if I
could. All right. Did your sister have a career? Oh, I know she was artistic, but did she ever work after she was married?
Did you ever hear of the Depression?
Oh, yes.
Well, Mr. Moffat had no work during the Depression, and she worked in the 5- and 10-cent stores in that area, making signs. Then Mr. Moffat later was picked up by, is it called Milner's? The big star in Milner's in Lynchburg.
I haven't heard of it.
No, he was picked up by them and as a sign painter. And then gradually he became merchandise man of it's Milner's in Lynchburg.
Well, I wouldn't know if it was Lynchburg, yes.
Okay. My sister did a lot of artwork on her own. There's a very lovely in Lynchburg. There's two colleges. There's Lynchburg College and then there's Randolph Macon. And there's a very fine college there. She did work for the college club. That was volunteer work. She also trained her third child. And she would paint. The third child was very artistic. And she taught that child to play maudlin and then painting. That child later became an artist. The baby of her family is the boy who later became an architect. Now she died at the age of 47. And in the synagogue in Lynchburg, there's a window which the Women's Society of the synagogue put up in her memory.
Is your brother still there?
No, my brother died. He was killed in my life. 4 years ago.
You mentioned the depression.
Yes.
What are your own memories of it?
Well,
how did your work have to adjust to?
Well, my work had to adjust to. We owned our own home, but we didn't pay taxes. I had a life insurance policy that was worth quite a lot of money, and I gradually borrowed from it to feed 2 old parents. I would walk out of ladder if I had to go to Coriopolis, or if I had to go up to Indiana. I went anywhere where people would pay me money. And finally, I ended up by taking a bus and taking people out of the We lived on the table land about $10 or $11 a week. When the depression was over, I didn't have any life insurance because I had used up my policy. I was busy. I was very busy.
And at this time, you did live with your parents.
I was living with my parents.
For how long did you do that? You lived with them then for most of their life?
No, about the last 10 years of their lives. Made an apartment and an office together. So during the Depression, when I was a very little girl, this lovely grandmother of mine, my mother's grandmother, had taught me to knit. And during the Depression, I went to the Philadelphia Yarn Company, they're on Penn Avenue now, and bought yarn and made my own dresses. And then washed one out every Saturday and pinned it on the floor so it would dry fur. We turned from gas to coal because some of my patients had stripped mine coal and they'd take me with coal. I got a belly, you know, those iron guns. I had a good time doing it, that's what happened. I was busy, we were getting by, we weren't on relief. I enjoyed myself.
What was the health care like during your childhood?
The health care? Well, we all had measles, we all had mumps. We had whooping cough, because you didn't have any vaccines for children. My mother was very old-fashioned. She bought a gallon of milk a day. I mean, the milk was came from out in Penn Township at the farm there. And she made cheese, and we all had to drink milk. We were a very athletic family. We had dumbbells. We exercised, but then I think that again comes from my father's side, because these trade schools had athletic things, and they also did picnic things. We didn't have serious illnesses.
Did you go to the doctor for regular checkups?
Yes.
You forgot a dentist?
Yes. Well, those doctors were very expensive. It was 50 cents and a dollar and a half.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible.
It is incredible.
What types of recreational activities were cultivated in your youth and continue to interest you?
Well, I played basketball. I hiked. I exercised. There was a swimming pool at the Motor Show Temple in those days. And I didn't swim, but we went down and paddled around the water. We did a lot of camping. We rode and go to Highland Park. In my youth, they didn't play tennis, you see. And I had to walk a mile each way to school.
Well, it sounds like your activities are very vigorous, though.
They were vigorous, yes.
What about family vacations?
Well, we always had vacations. They were weren't hotel vacations. My grandparents lived in Wilkes-Barre, and they had a tremendous large house. So we went there, and they had a porch. You went all the way around the house, you know, those frame houses with the bay windows.
Yes.
When we were little, they were still up in the in George. I mean, they still have connections to Georgetown, and they used to put the mules from the mines. They would go blind, and they'd put them out on the grass to feed. They didn't kill them or anything. And we used to ride those mules. We had cats. We had dogs.
Mm-hmm.
We played jacks. We belonged to debating societies. Well, I did a lot of crocheting. We always had friends in. We learned how to cook.
What was the social life back at this time? You had a lot of dances in the temple?
No, we didn't do that. I mean, the temple didn't have dances. What's your background? Are you of German descent or are you
Russian?
Well, when I was a little girl, the Rotoschulden background was German. And all they talked about when you got among their parents was their worldly goods. You know, their silverware, their china, the handmade lace that they had, things like that. And my mother would have none of that. The men played pinochle and various card games, and we never did that.
Mm-hmm. So it was strictly divided?
It was strictly. Now those same, the grandchildren of those same, we called them peasants. That was the way they don't know. The grandchildren of those same peasants, and we called them dienstmaids. We laughed at them because they were so materialistic. Some of them are most cultured and most refined.
Mm-hmm.
My social life was with non-Jewish children. Now there were, Carnegie Tech was just opening up, and there was a couple of the faculty that lived right in our neighborhood. We played with their children. When we were a little bit older, we used to go down to, my grandfather had a house in, it was the end of Atlantic City, I guess you call that Margate. And there, it was a big, big farmhouse that he had bought, and the ocean came right up to their land. And we were all invited down there, my mother and the children and the maid, which we always had, and the maids were very expensive, $3 a week. We would go down, and the maid would take care of us children, you see, and we would go, it was an old-fashioned shower that we got, took off the sand, and, you know, stand under the shower and dropped your bathing suit, and then went into clothes. And then we played handball and, you know, tossed things and various activities that children do. You know, how they throw a little something ahead and then they get stopped until they come to it. After I got into, got older, dances were not allowed. I mean, well, we couldn't have afforded to go on to Concordia Club. The children were taking music lessons and doing these other things, and that took all of, and living well, that took about all the money he had, and my father was not a fond player.
You played piano?
Oh, yes. I just sold my piano, I was printing up. I had it 50 years, it was a Steinway, and do you know, I paid $1,850 for it 50 years ago, and I got $2,600 when I sold it.
Yes. Let's move on ahead a little.
Go ahead.
tell us some of the of something about your community involvement. Which organizations did you belong to, both medical and non-medical?
Well, I belong to the various medical societies. I belong to the League of Women Voters. I have been the secretary of the Women's Peace League. That's my thing. Do you know anything about them?
No, I don't.
Well, it started by the Quakers in Philadelphia. See, I was a pacifist in World War I, but I had to come out. I belong to the Council of Jewish Women from the home. From my freshman year in college, which is over 6 years.
You were secretary of the Women's Peace League. Can you remember anything, any direct involvement you had, any particular project you were involved with?
Well, there was mostly lectures, and when I was in college, I was a suffragette. You know how we walked in the parade, if your grandmother told you those stories?
You were walking in those protest parades?
I was interested in international politics.
Did you know any of the key figures in the suffragette movement? Did you ever meet them?
Wasn't there an Anthony of woman?
Susan B. Anthony.
Mm-hmm. I met people like Maud Adams. Not Maud Adams, but the Adams woman from Peace League. And as I got busier and busier in medicine, one by one these things had to drop by the way.
Yes. Are there any ones that you got very much involved in that you want to tell us about?
I'm even interested now in the neighborhood club, and this particular neighborhood, I don't know whether you know it or not, it's almost fully integrated. And we're very comfortable here. The black people who come in are very high class, such as principal of the high school and the assistant dean, one of the assistant deans of women at Pitt. And a couple of professors from Tech, and a couple of professors from Pitt, mm-hmm. an admission officer from the juvenile court, a head of a nursery school, and we decided that we're very comfortable here. There's no reason for our leaving.
And you know most of your neighbors.
We know they. It's very interesting. But as they came in, it took them about a year before they. You can't make any effort to know us.
Excuse me, we're going to have to stop there.